Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Christ the Church and Serious Conversation. And I hope and I pray that it is well with your soul. That was some old school church singing right there, and that should have taken you back to the 70s when things were right in the church, not as they are today, where things are so corrupt and twisted and perverted, and they're dumbing down the people like it's going out of style. My brothers and sisters, my dear brothers and sisters, we're in studio once again to encourage you to put on your thinking caps, to encourage you to be an analytical thinker, to encourage you to see what's going on in the church and ask yourself, is that God? Is that of God? Would God have us doing this foolishness? Answer is absolutely not. Well, saints, we're talking about this group of people in the church that bishops are raising up. This is a core. This is a fraternity, just like there's a fraternity of bishops. Underneath that fraternity of bishops, which is the ruling class in the church, you have a fraternity of adjutants, which are the serving class in the church. That's right. You have a ruling class and you have a serving class. The servers are taking care of the rulers. And the servers are just basically house slaves, ecclesiastical slaves, if you will, ecclesiastical butlers and waitresses for these people who sit on top of the church episcopal pyramid called the bishop and the first lady. Now, my brothers and sisters, I played audio for 2 days in a row. I played audio. What is this core supposed to do? Can we just review for a moment? The audio that I played for you in the past 2 days has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that these so-called adjutants, these so-called armor bearers, these so-called servants in the house of God are what we call a black wall of silence. They can see their bishop and their first lady doing evil. They can hear their bishop and their first lady doing evil, but they shall speak no evil. They hear no evil. They speak no evil. They see no evil. They're here to protect the mand of God. Now, I don't know how the word man wound up with a D at the end, and now you have to pronounce it the mand of God. I don't know who made that up. But that's the way they said we got to protect the mand of God. And there are all kinds of groups out there training these adjutants. There's an ongoing training right now. It's at fever pitch. This training is at fever pitch because there aren't enough adjutants to go around to serve the bishops. You know, bishops are multiplying like cockroaches in the projects. But what's not multiplying at the same rate of speed are the adjutants. So now there's schools and little workshops and little trainings popping up everywhere, where they're trying to get these people trained because there aren't enough house Negroes to go around for the bishop. So the bishop needs more house Negroes. And that's where the adjutants come in. Now, here's a little audio that I played yesterday. And this is a guy by the name of Elder Reginald King, and he's got an infomercial on YouTube. And it's called the Adjutant Boot Camp. The Adjutant Boot Camp. Here he is.
Grace and peace. I'm Elder Reginald King, Adjutant General for United Covenant Churches of Christ. I'm also your instructor for the Armor Bearers Boot Camp Level 1 and Level 2. These classes are designed to teach you and to show you the importance of your assignment so you can accomplish them with excellence. You do know your assignment is much more than carrying your leader's bag and Bible, but you are literally the embodiment of order and protocol. This four-week course will teach you.
Where does this order and protocol come from? You have to ask yourself, if you're the embodiment of order and protocol, you have to ask yourself, where did Elder Reginald King get this training? Well, he didn't get it from the Bible. These are man-made teachings. When he says you're the embodiment of order and protocol, that is not biblical language. That's worldly language. That's language adopted from the world. And the teachings that these people provide you and these adjutant trainings are just man-made teachings. There's not a Bible verse. There's not a proof text. There's not a episode in the Bible that they can point you to and say, look, this is an adjutant. There's not one verse in the Bible. I've listened to these trainings. I've listened to hours of audio. I've listened. None of it is based on the Bible. Yet it's a boot camp. It's a training session. Well, you have to ask yourself, if I'm in church, and church is the house of God, and I'm a child of God, and I'm a servant of God, then I must be getting my information from the Word of God. But it's not. See, you're in church, the house of God, and you are a child of God. You are a servant of God, but the training doesn't come from God. It comes from man. Here's more.
First, your anointing, your duties, and your functions as an adjutant and an armor bearer. If you truly want to understand what it means to sanctify your leader in the eyes of the people.
Again, how do you sanctify your leader? Isn't God the one who sanctifies? Isn't it the Holy Spirit who sanctifies? What is this baloney? What is this double talk about you sanctifying your leaders in the eyes of the people? What is that? What is that? That's not biblical talk. That's not biblical language. You can't find anywhere that you're supposed to magnify or sanctify your leader in the eyes of the people. Again, man-made teachings. This is all the commandments of men, the traditions of men. None of this is scriptural. And you know how Jesus blasted the Pharisees and the Sadducees for promoting the commandments of men. And what did Jesus say about the commandments of men? They make the word of God of none effect. The commandments of men neutralize the word of God. The commandments of men, when they take over a person's mind, they neutralize the word of God in that person's heart. So what is it to sanctify your leaders in the eyes of the people? Well, it's God who does what? The sanctifying. He's the sanctifying one. He's the Holy Spirit. I don't know how you can sanctify. I don't know how that's even possible, how you can sanctify your leader in the and first of all, why is there so much focus on your leader? You know, all teaching in the church, all teaching is supposed to point to Jesus. Jesus said, look what Jesus said. Jesus said, when I leave and the Holy Spirit comes in my place, he will not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. He will speak of me. Thus, if you have real preachers in the pulpit who are under the anointing of God, they will speak of Jesus. What is this nonsense about us always having to talk about the leader? What is this foolishness about you always having to talk and prop up your pastor, your bishop? Why is it that you always have to, you do very little speaking of Jesus? I don't hear anything coming out of your mouth about Jesus, and everything that comes out of your mouth is about how glorious and majestic and wonderful the bishop is. Well, you don't have the Holy Spirit then, because when the Holy Spirit comes, he will not speak of himself or of anybody else for that matter. He will speak of Jesus, and he will cause those under his influence, under the anointing, to speak of Jesus and nothing else. But here, Brother King wants you to know what your anointing is, what your function is, what your office is, because you, adjutant, you must sanctify your leader in the eyes of the people. Here's more.
Teach you first your anointing, your duties, and your functions as an adjutant and an armor bearer. If you truly want to understand what it means to sanctify your leader in the eyes of the people, you'll join us in this upcoming boot camp. To find out more about upcoming classes, you can visit us at our website at UnitedNationalAdjutancyCorp.org or simply email me at AdjutantKing@AOL.com. I'm also available if you'd like to have a boot camp at your local assembly. And remember, always to serve with passion. Be blessed.
I'd rather serve with intelligence than with zeal. I'd rather serve with intelligence than with crazy zeal, unfettered zeal. Now, all that you heard there, everything that you heard is simply this. That's classic jackass talk. What you heard Brother or Elder Reginald King say, all of it was jackass talk. Now, here's another guy who specializes in jackass talk. His name is Bishop Pastor William Cooper II. And he's hosting an Armor Bearers Academy. He's always hosting an Armor Bearers Academy. Bi-yearly, he's hosting Armor Bearer Academy. Now, listen to this man, because he's going to teach you who you're going to serve. And I want you to hear from his mouth who you're going to serve. Listen to this.
Bless you, my friend. I'm Pastor Cooper, and I'm here to invite you to attend the Armor Bearer Academy 2016. This is our second academy of the year, and my friends, I'm going to be teaching from my very fourth book. Are you an armor bearer, a pall bearer, or a glamour bearer? The Lord allowed me to write four books on this topic. God's armor.
You better add to that crap bearer. Here he is again. You better add to that manure bearer. You better add to that, listen, this is garbage. The Greek word is skapala. When the Apostle Paul called his prior life in Judaism, he said, I count it all dung. All of it, that's the Greek word skapala. That's manure. It's all manure. It's all jackass manure. That's all it is. All of it, the vestments, the titles, the office, all of it is manure. It's all dung. Paul said, in my previous life in the Jews' religion, I did this, I accomplished this, I accomplished this, I was at this level, I did this other thing, I was renowned, I was known, I was famous, I was celebrated, but I counted all dung. after meeting Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, after having an epiphany, after having a spiritual awakening, after being born again, I look back at my life and my prior achievements, and I count it all as dung. It's all crapola. Listen to this crapola. This is ecclesiastical crapola.
Bless you, my friend. I'm Pastor Cooper, and I'm here to invite you to attend the Armamare Academy 2016. This is our second academy of the year, and my friends, I'm going to be teaching from my very fourth book. Are you an Armamare, a Paul Bearer, or a Glamour Bearer?
Add to that crapola bearer.
Lord, allow me to write four books on this topic. God's Armor Bearer, Commitment Over Convenience, and Givers and Takers in the Church. And this is the fourth book that we're teaching from. And it is entitled, Are You a Glamour Bearer, Armor Bearer, or Paul Bearer? Yes, my friends, we had our first academy, and we had students from all over the state coming to learn and to find out how they can be better servants to their pastor, to their first lady, how they can work.
See? How you can be a better servant to your pastor and first lady. It's all about the pastor and the first lady. That's all it's about. And that's why this guy gets people coming from all over the state of North Carolina. People attend his Armor Bearer's Academy. They come from all over the state. Why? Because the pastor and the first lady need house Negroes. That's what they need. They need someone to brainwash their people into making them house Negroes. You know, it's like the clip that I played yesterday from that old movie, Gone with the Wind. Remember Gone with the Wind? Remember that, you know, that antebellum mansion in the old South, and there you had Mammy, and you had all the good black people working, and who's controlling the wealth of Tara? Well, the white people. But it's the black people, you know, tilling the fields and picking the cotton, and they're the ones making the few in Tara rich. Well, that's your bishop, and that's his first lady. They're the ones living in the big house, and you got some house Negroes, and you got some field Negroes, and the field Negroes are fighting over who's going to, and they're almost ready to go to blows over who gets to say quitting time. I say it's quitting time. I'm the foreman here at Tara. I get to say when it's quitting time, and they're about to go to blows. Two black guys are about to go to blows over, you know, over who gets to say quitting time. That's the insanity of it. That, you know, you should be working together to run away from that plantation, to find a way of escape, to look for the Underground Railroad and hightail it out of there. Not fighting over who gets to say quitting time after a 20-hour workday. You can barely stand up and you want to fight with your brother over who gets to say quitting time? But that's what happens when you get brainwashed. That's what happens when you get schooled. That's what happens when you go to one of these seminars. You come out saying, I get to say quitting time. And the other one says, no, I get to say quitting time. Because you want to be the foreman among the house Negroes. And then if you can't be the foreman among the house Negroes, you want to be the foreman among the field Negroes. But you want to be a foreman. You want to be an adjutant. Just like this guy that we played before, he's the general adjutant. You know, he's the one who gets to say quitting time. Hello, this is Reginald King, Elder Reginald. I'm the general adjutant. All that means is that he gets to say quitting time, but he's still a slave. He's still a fool. He's still a jackass. He's still hee-hawing this adjutant baloney. He's still a donkey. Plowing the fields for the bishop. That's all you are, an adjutant. That's a fancy word. That's a fancy word for, you know, house Negro.
And take us in the church. And this is the fourth book that we're teaching from. And it is entitled, Are You a Glamour Bearer, Armor Bearer, or Paul Bearer? Yes, my friends, we had our first academy, and we had students from all over the state coming to learn and to find out how they can be better servants to their pastor, to their first lady, how they can work better in the ministry. And we're having our second installment. We're having new topics. We're going to talk about holding up the arms of the man of God. We're going to talk about sowing into the leader's anointing. We're going to...
Wait. You're going to teach me how to hold up the man of God? I thought we were here to hold up the little lambs and the sheep. Didn't Jesus say to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you. Take care of my lambs and sheep." Why am I holding up Peter's hands? Peter and everybody else in leadership is supposed to be taking care of the lambs and the sheep. What is this nonsense about, you know, just the whole church running? I never heard of sheep taking care of the shepherd. I mean, that's how cockeyed and lopsided and upside down this thing is. Shepherds are supposed to take care of the sheep. But I hear this idiot saying, "No, we got to take care of the shepherd. Learn how to hold up his hands." He ain't doing nothing. He's a bum. The bishop's a bum. The bishop doesn't work. The bishop is a glamour puss. The bishop, he don't know nothing. The boy don't work. The bishop's never held down a job. Who you kidding? Why hold up his hands? He hasn't done anything all day. And when he does get up and he goes out, it's to play golf. And if he's not playing golf, then, he's at a pastor's luncheon stuffing his fat face. Do I need to hold up his hands so he can continue to stuff, hors d'oeuvres in his mouth? Is that why I need to hold up his hands to help him stuff his face? Listen to this fool. This is a fool.
And we're having our second installment. We're having new topics. We're going to talk about holding up the arms of the man of God. We're going to talk about sowing into the leader's anointing.
Sowing into the leader's anointing? He's already ripping me off with tithes and offerings. What are you talking about, sowing into the leader? What is that, sowing into the leader's anointing? Do you know that the anointing is the Holy Spirit? Do you know that Peter said you cannot buy the gift of the Holy Spirit? Did you know that? Mr. William Cooper II, did you know that? It's called simony. It's the sin of simony. When you offer money for the Holy Spirit, sowing money into the leader's anointing. Sowing money into the leader's anointing. Are you kidding me? These are new topics now, new topics. These are new. We didn't cover them in the first session. These are the new topics. What are they? Holding up the leader's hands. Well, what does the leader do? Nothing. Listen, the leader doesn't even change a light bulb in his own house. The leader is a bum. He's a bum. The leader's got adjutants that change his socks and his shoes. The leader has adjutants that wipe his fanny. The leader has adjutants that put clear nail polish on his toenails and on the nails of his hands. The leader has adjutants which give him a shave. Pluck out his eyebrows. They put on his makeup for camera for TV. They comb his hair. What are you talking about? I mean, the guy does nothing. Can he do something for himself? Can the guy do something for himself? Is he an invalid? Is he in a wheelchair that I got to feed him? Can you explain? What do I need to hold his hands for? And don't tell me he's battling in prayer. That's a lie. These people don't pray. They don't pray. It's not like Exodus 17 where Aaron and Hur were holding up the hands of Moses while Joshua was in the battlefield battling the Amalekites. That's not that kind. Don't give me that baloney. these guys don't fight. To fight means you rock the boat. To fight means you earnestly contend for the faith. To fight, well, they may persecute their own people. They may launch an attack against their own people, but they're not fighting the devil. They're not fighting principalities and powers. They're not fighting the Roman Catholic invasion of the African-American church. They're fighting dissenters. They're fighting people who ask questions. They're fighting people who come to church and have thinking caps on. They're fighting people who say, but it says in the Bible, on this. Those are the people they fight. So I need to hold my pastor's hands up, a bum, a guy who does nothing, a guy who wants me to come to his house so I can detail his car, a guy who wants me to come to his house and get his car keys so that I can take his car for inspection, a guy who wants me to go to the Department of Motor Vehicles and get his car registration. This is a guy who does nothing. This is a freeloader. This is a bum. This is a parasite.
Work better in the ministry, and we're having our second installment. We're having new topics. We're going to talk about holding up the arms of the man of God. We're going to talk about sowing into the leader's anointing. We're going to talk about being a blessing to the man of God. We're going to talk about the spirit of the man of God.
Why is there so much emphasis on the man, being a blessing to the man of God? Being a blessing, he's already got the blessing. He's got a cushy job where everybody else works 40 to 50 to 60 hours a week. This guy shows up on Sunday for 1 hour. He shows up for 1 hour and gets paid 10 times more than anybody else that works 40, 50, 60 hours a week in a conventional job. What do you mean being a blessing to the man of God? What do you mean being a blessing?
Talk about being a blessing to the man of God. We're going to talk about the spirit of the man of God resting upon you. And, of course, we're going
to... The spirit of the man of God resting upon me. I need the Holy Spirit to rest. I mean, that's what... See, this is why... This is why the church is so dumb. You know, this guy's got four books. I wonder what's in the four books. I wonder what's in the four books. How the spirit of the man of God needs to rest upon me? I thought I was supposed to be clothed with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what Jesus told his disciples? Stay in Jerusalem until you be clothed with power from on high. And the clothing I need is Holy Ghost power. Not the clothing, to be clothed with the spirit of the man of God. The man of God is a bum. He's a bum. But this is the trend. You see, this is a little snippet. This is a little snippet of the kind of Kool-Aid you're going to be served.
We're going to talk about holding up the arms of the man of God. We're going to talk about sowing into the leader's anointing. We're going to talk about being a blessing to the man of God. We're going to talk about the spirit of the man of God resting upon you. And, of course, we're going to identify whether you are a glamour bearer, an armor bearer, or a pall bearer. I talk about gap.
Well, I don't need to attend your seminar or your boot camp or your academy, and I can tell you you're a crapola bearer. I don't, 1 minute into this video, and you are a crapola bearer.
Gaps in the church, G-A-P-S, glamour, armor, Paul. We're going to do the test, and you're going to see which one you are, and we pray to God that you are a faithful armor bearer to your man, woman of God. Now listen.
Have you heard anything about serving Jesus? Have you heard, for example, let me read to you out of Acts 13. Acts 13. Let me just read to you. Acts 13. Acts 13. And then I'm going to take you to 1 Samuel. In Acts 13, starting at verse 1, Acts 13:1, it says, now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, such as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which was a foster brother to Herod the Tetrarch or governor, and Saul. As these five ministered to the Lord. Who were they ministering to? To the Lord. To the Lord. Now, the chief minister in this church was Barnabas. You don't read anything about them having the spirit of Barnabas. No, no, no. Or them ministering to Barnabas. No, no. Barnabas is listed first. Let me read it to you again. Now, there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, such as Barnabas. He's always listed first. He's the premier pastor of this church, sent, commissioned by the church in Jerusalem. Such as Barnabas, then followed by Simeon, that was called Niger, and then Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, the foster brother of Herod the governor, and Saul. As they ministered to the man of God, no, it doesn't say that. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And it says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says in verse 1, "And the child Samuel ministered unto Eli." No, it doesn't say that. Does it say that, saints, that the child Samuel ministered unto Eli? Was Samuel Eli's adjutant? No. No. No, 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 no. See, you see, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord." This clown here wants you to minister to the man of God, the bum who does nothing all week long. He wants you to focus. He wants everybody to focus their attention on the man of God. It's crazy. This is crazy talk.
And you're going to see which one you are. And we pray to God that you are a faithful armor bearer to your man, woman of God. Now listen, the date for this event is July the 23rd from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Breakfast will be served. We're going to have a great session. I'm going to do the teaching, and I need you to attend this great academy. I need you to go online and register now. Registration is only $35 until July the 15th. After July the 15th, the registration will go up to $45. So I need you to go online and register now so you can be a part of this great event. Listen, my friends.
Did you get the sales gimmick? If you're coming early, it's $35. If you're coming late, $45. This is a racket. This is a racket. A racket. A crying shame. It breaks your heart. It breaks your heart.
Call your friends. Call your neighbors. Talk to your pastor. Talk to everyone you can. You want to be a part of this great Armor Bearers Academy. It's going to bless your life tremendously. I have 24 years of serving, and I can teach you how to be a great servant to your man or woman of God. You will be blessed. Again,
why is all the focus on the man and the woman of God? Why is it that all the love in the church, I used to attend these churches where the only birthday celebrated all year, the only birthday celebrated. I remember when I was a kid, at the end of the month or at the beginning of the month, the pastor would say, "Who was born in the month of January? Can all those January babies please stand up?" And all the saints in this massive church, because our church was massive, all the saints in January would get up, and then the pastor would invite them to the front, and they would all come and stand, and the whole church would sing happy birthday to these people. Then the February crowd was sunk to in their month, and the March, and on and on and on. Everybody was celebrated. Today, you have to buy a $300 banquet ticket to, you know, for the pastor's birthday, the bishop's birthday. Now, if there's a family of four, that's $1,200. $1,200. You know that the caterer is only getting $20 from each person at a time. You know, if you have 200 people that are going to this banquet, all the pastor has to do is cut the caterer a $4,000 check, and that covers 20 people per head for 200 people. Now, the other $280 per ticket goes into the pastor's pocket, in addition to tithes and offerings. And listen, his birthday gets celebrated, his ministry anniversary gets celebrated. If he stumps his toenail, stumps his foot as he's walking, that gets, let's pray for the man of God. And then forget it, the first lady, she's the other one who gets her birthday celebrated. It never ends. Everything is flowing one way. Everything. Everything. It's crazy. And nobody else gets celebrated. Nobody else, you know, the pastor has intercessors. Oh, these are the pastor's intercessors. Well, thank God that Jesus intercedes for us, because if it wasn't for Jesus, whoever liveth and maketh intercession for us, we wouldn't have nobody praying for us, because everybody's praying for the pastor. They're the pastor's intercessors. It seems to me like the pastor's a spoiled brat who wants everything for him. He wants all the intercessors. He wants all the money. He wants all the attention. He wants all the birthday songs. He wants all the Christmas gifts. He wants all the vacations. I mean, the pastor. We're passing, you know, we're asking everybody for $100 to send pastor on vacation. Wait a minute. His house is tax-free. His cars, we pay for his cars. We pay for the insurance. We pay for his medical. He eats here every day at the church. He's dipping into the church pantry stuff and taking stuff home from the church pantry. This guy doesn't spend any money. Now I got to pay for his vacation too? And this year I can't go on vacation? I can't go on vacation. My vacation will be at home, but I got to send him on vacation? This is ludicrous. But that's what they're teaching. They're teaching people to be house Negroes and field Negroes, and it doesn't end.
July the 23rd, 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Breakfast will be served on this event. Go online, www.thesaltchurch.org. Yes, the Salt Church, Salt of the Earth Church of God in Christ in Burlington, North Carolina, and register. You will be blessed in this great event. God bless you.
Now, if I played a portion of the training, you wouldn't believe what you hear. I'm not going to play it. But if I was to play just a snippet, you would say, no, this can't be. This can't be what I'm paying $35 for or $45. It just can't be. This stupid, no, it can't be. Now, here's another guy. This guy, I think he's Jamaican. Here's another guy, and he's also doing, because this is all over the place. Just like bishops, they're all over the place. Now you have these adjutants. They're all the adjutant training corps. It's all over the place. Here's this guy. I think he's Jamaican or from some Caribbean island. And here he is teaching true armor bearers. True. What's a true armor bearer? Listen to this.
And God will deliver me from this. The church is a true armor bearers.
Yeah.
Not people that's looking for their next elevation.
Uh-huh. Oh, you mean like the bishop? The bishop's always looking for his next elevation. Oh, so there's only one that can be elevated, that's the bishop, and everybody else is going to be house Negroes and field Negroes. Oh, I get it. Not a person who's looking for the next elevation, like the bishop and his wife.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir, huh?
not getting ready to go start on the church. What you need from our business, that's just, this is the time.
Did you hear that tirade? They're going to put their life at risk because they value the anointing. What anointing? You're a jackass. What anointing do they value? You're a hee-hawing fool. You're a hee. And listen, all these bishops who get up there and rant and rave like this nut, they're all hee-hawing jackasses. My brothers and sisters, let me ask you a question. Come on, saints. Let's think analytically here for a minute. What's the difference between this? Listen to this foolishness. What's the difference between this? I thought we were supposed to value the sheep. I thought we were supposed to give an account for the sheep. You know, Peter died for the faith. The Apostle Paul died for the faith. Timothy and all of the apostles and all of the sons, the ministerial sons of the apostles, they all died. Read Fox Books of Martyrs. Read Fox Books of Martyrs. Find out what happened to Matthew, the apostle. Learn and find out what happened to John, the apostle. Find out what happened to Andrew. Find out what happened to Thomas. Just read Fox Books of Martyrs. There was nobody there defending their anointing. They had no armor. They died for the faith. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, who was there defending his so-called anointing? He died for the faith. This, my brothers and sisters, this foolishness is nothing more than this. This is an uneducated fool taking a biblical term which is obsolete. Because it's an Old Testament term. The Old Testament is obsolete. There are no battles being waged. You don't need an armor bearer like Goliath needed an armor bearer. You know, David served as King Saul's armor bearer, but there are no armies. We have no armies in the church today. There are no armor bearers. So then what is this guy talking about? Well, he's talking, you see, it's plantation talk in code. It's antebellum lingo in code. All it is house Negroes. We need some house Negroes who are going to make things easy for Massa.
Lord, yes, sir.
So I'm a bearer so that the pastor can look good. You see, it's nothing about Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, well, they're not lifting up Jesus, they're lifting up the pastor. See, he says, I'm not in it to grab the mic on Sunday morning. I'm in it to make you look good. You are the pastor. I'm in it to make you, the pastor, look good. Whatever happened to preaching just Christ alone? Whatever happened to Christ alone? Whatever happened to preaching Christ and him crucified? But now you have to preach the pastor. Now, of course, this guy's been invited, and he's going to get a nice little check there at the end. He's going to get a nice little honorarium because he's got the crowd roused up, and that's what the pastor brought him in for. The pastor brought him in to brainwash the people to get them to be armor bearers because the pastor needs house Negroes for him and the first lady. That's the deal. This is a guest speaker. And he's been brought in to make the pastor look good. Some men armor bearers and you need some women. Why? Why the women? Well, because you need your refrigerator cleaned. You need your floors mopped because you need your clothes ironed. That's what the women do. And then the men. Why do we need men armor? Because I need my car taken to motor vehicles so that I can get my inspection and I can get my car registered. I need my car taken so that I can get new tires. But I don't want to do it. I got my armor bearers. I got my flunky to do it. I got my stooge to do it. See? That's what this is about. We're with you. No. Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? That's what Moses said. Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? If you're on the Lord's side, come with me. Because I represent those who are on the Lord's side. Who's on the Lord's side? He didn't say, who's on Moses' side? He never said that. Who's on the Lord's side? Well, he's ranting and raging here, and it's hard to understand him because of his thick accent, but I got more audio. Here's another clown. This is a pastor teaching the armor bearer training. This is Pastor Joseph B. Hope, and he's hoping to land a few fools on that day. Listen to this guy here, Pastor Joseph B. Hope, teaching on what it is to be an armor bearer.
That you knew was there. There has to be somebody that is consistent in that person's life that says, I will go with you to the death of hell.
He's talking talking about the qualifications of an armor bearer, and of course, the first one is good steward. Why? Well, because armor bearers, they line the pastor's pockets with money. That's one of the chief jobs of an armor bearer or an adjutant. You know, whenever they go out to dinner with the pastor, and the pastor is going to make believe that he's paying for the bill, the armor bearer, oh, no, pastor, you put your money away. You're not going to rob me of my blessing. I'm paying for this, pastor. I'm paying. Oh, you're so well taught. You're going to get the blessing. You're going to get. I've seen it 101 times where the pastor is faking that he's going to pay. He's faking it. He's going into, and he pulls out his wallet, and he's about to, and then here comes the adjutant. He jumps, oh, Bishop, put that wallet away. You're not robbing me of my blessing. Oh, no, I got this. Oh, no, I want the blessing. I want the blessing. And the bishop turns to the adjutant, I trained you well. Yeah, you brainwashed him. So here is the number one characteristic of an armor bearer. He's got to be a good steward. Listen to this nonsense.
The armor bearer needs to be just as, if not more, financially stable than the pastor.
Uh-oh. Did you hear that foolishness? The armor bearer needs to be more financially stable than the pastor. Wait a minute. Your pastor is not financially stable? I mean, that's what goes on in these sessions. Whether it's Jay Delano Ellis running his little thing, if you run the gamut, this is the foolishness that goes on in all of these armor bearer sessions. This is the foolishness, the utter foolishness. You heard what this guy just said. The armor bearer, who happens to be a house Negro, he needs to be more financially prudent and solvent, more financially better off than the master running the house. This is just, again, this is just idiotic on its face. This is, you know, the church has become not a theocracy, but an idiocracy. The church has become not a theocracy, but an idiocracy. It's a government run by idiots. Here's more.
Now we're here with some smart stuff. He's prudent in matters. He's a good steward.
Yeah.
The armor bearer needs to be just as, if not more, financially stable
Uh-oh.
Than the pastor.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
That's it. That's the truth.
Armor bearer and the pastor, they're at a different church. The pastor and the armor bearer are at a different church, and the pastor's going to preach at that church. Now, the armor bearer, when it's offering time, the armor bearer has to give for him and the pastor because he needs to be more well off than the pastor is. The armor bearer should not be looking to the pastor for gas money, even though the armor bearer is going to be driving the pastor around wherever the pastor needs to go. It's the armor bearer who needs to supply this money. But it's the we're running the pastor's errands. But the armor bearer shouldn't be looking to the pastor for any money for gas because he's the armor bearer and he should be better off than the pastor. But we're going to the dry cleaning to pick up the pastor's vestments. Then from there, we're going to the market. Then from there, I'm taking the pastor out to lunch. I mean, we're driving up and downtown. We're going from one meeting to another. We're taking care of all of the pastor's errands. I spent all day with him, driving him around in my car. And he doesn't give me, I mean, there's no gas money. I mean, I can tell you right now, that can't go on for long. I'll be broke. If we're at a church service and he, I don't let him give, but I give him money so that he can put an offering, so then what did he give? You see, this is the foolishness that's being taught, and the people are applauding it. They're into it. They love it. Woo, we need more people in here to hear this. This is crazy, but this is the black church, and this is rampant. This is rampant.
Come on in. Teach this.
He should not have to fill up your gas tank.
All right,
Lord. All right, come on.
Wow.
So that you can come pick him up.
Wow.
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 Wow. Wow.
They do it the same.
Wow. I love it.
That qualifications being stupid. Yeah, that's qualification. You have to be stupid. That's the qualification. That's the number one qualification. If you're stupid, you can be my adjutant. If you drink Kool-Aid nonstop, you can be my adjutant. If you can play the fool 24/7, you can be. Oh, this. Oh, yeah. There's requirements for this office. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's requirements. And this guy's got a full of. He's got a room full of dummies listening to him and egging him on. Go ahead, Pastor. Preach some more. Go ahead, Pastor.
He's just jumping up because he comes to church every Sunday. He's faithful. So,
right, he's
so
we're
just
going
to jump. No, that's qualifications. That's
right.
The proper qualifications. The armor bearer has to be prudent and a good steward.
Right, yes, right.
He has to be careful in matters, natural matters. Not just spiritual things, but he has to be naturally prudent in matters. He has to be careful to monitor his funds to say, Pastor has this many engagements on the road for this church. I know the spirit of my manservant. He, when he stands up, he's going to ask for a particular type of offer.
Mm.
Come on. I need to be prepared.
Yes.
Come on.
Oh,
no. It is an embarrassment when a pastor goes out.
You see, it's about money. It's about money. This is why people in the black church still live in projects. This is why while their bishop or their pastor lives in a mansion in a gated community, the church members live in the projects. Why? Because of this foolishness, because of all the money. You know, when Obama was president, they talked about the trickle down, or the when George W. Bush was president, Obama talked about trickle down economy, how people were getting nothing. Well, this is trickle up economy. Everything goes to the pastor. Everything goes to the first lady. Everything goes to them. Nothing comes out of this dude's pocket. Nothing comes out of his pocket. And you need to anticipate his fleecing patterns. If not, you can't be an armor bearer.
Oh, Lord.
Tell me, Lord.
I'm going to go one step further.
Go ahead.
Because Pastor has so much on his mind and does not bring his wallet with him.
Tell him.
You
can't.
And Pastor might not be preaching in the Bible. All right, somebody asked for a $100 offer. Why don't you have it to put in your pants?
Now, the bishop has so many things on his mind that he happened to forget his wallet. That's a new one. He forgot his wallet at home because he's got so many things on his mind. Yeah, he's got driving on his mind, but he don't drive. He's got preaching on his mind, but he don't preach. The dude does absolutely. So he goes to this service, the bishop, and he has so many things on his mind, like taking the curtains off his head. He had so many things on his mind that he, out of all things he could have, I mean, he didn't forget his stockings. He didn't forget his shoes. He didn't forget his jacket. But out of all things he could have forgotten, the bishop forgot his wallet. Wow, what a coincidence that of all the things, he didn't forget his false teeth. He didn't forget, he didn't leave home his appetite, because he has a ferocious appetite. When he goes out to dinner, he orders a lobster, a steak. He orders prime rib. And all this stuff that he doesn't eat, he says, let's pack it up and let's take it to the first lady. Of course, I mean, the guy has, man, he doesn't forget the first lady. But out of all the things he could have forgotten, he forgot his wallet. So now you have to have his $100 for the offering. And if you don't have those $100, you're a lousy adjutant. Here it is again, in case you missed it. Tell me, I got to have my 100 and then I got to have his 100? How am I going to feed my kids? How am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to pay my car note? Oh, that's right. You want me. How am I going to do it? How am I going to get my kids' school supplies? If I'm chasing you, if I'm your personal chauffeur, and your personal slave, that I take care of you so much that I forgot what my wife looks like. I forgot the names of my kids because I'm running around taking care of your foolishness, you know, promoting your agenda and developing your brand. That I forgot the names of my children. And yet, when you forget your wallet, yet when you leave your wallet at home, you want me to have the 100 that you're going to give, and you want me to have the 100 that I got to give.
And he should not have to say to you, this is the part I'm a shout on. I'll give it back.
Now, I'm going to put $100 in his hands, and don't expect him to say, I'll give it back to you when we get home and I go get my wallet. No, he don't have to. He don't have to. My brothers and sisters, this is Crime Incorporated. This is why Jesus said, my Father's house has been turned into a den of thieves. This is what this is. And you have the bishops, who are the ruling class, and you have the adjutants, who are the serving class. And the adjutants are to see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. But there's a whole lot of evil going on. About that. That leaves me. I could never be an armor bearer. I could never be an armor. I'm ugly. And maybe it's a blessing to be ugly, so this way I'm not picked. Armor bearers are, you know, if you're ugly, oh God, make me ugly, Lord. Make me ugly, this way they don't pick me. Yeah, because listen, I'd rather be ugly and have my money in my pocket than to be handsome, and be broke. Because if I follow this fool, he's looking for handsome people to be his adjutants. Well, if I'm handsome, I'll be broke because, I mean, I can't keep up with this guy, him losing and forgetting his wallet all the time. It's a blessing. It would be a blessing then to be ugly. Amen.
Some of you, I'm going to say, what does that have to do with anything?
Everything.
Because you represent the man of God,
right.
That stands before the people.
Right. Yes.
They will judge him.
Yes, they will.
By the person who are in his company.
Yes, they will.
They sure will. Normally, armor bearers are the ones that walk in first.
Mm-hmm.
They say, where do you want my package?
Yes.
From?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
And if you walk in, shirt hanging on, out,
oh.
Shoes run over,
I'm
looking
on.
Dirty, breath stinking. Don't know how to talk.
Oh.
Hey, where are we supposed to go? They immediately have already prejudged.
I'm laughing at you because you're flaming. Yeah, I'm laughing at you because you're a sissy. Yeah, I'm laughing at you because you have messed up wrists. Is the pastor's errand boy. Who is he going to send? Well, he's going to send the adjutant. The adjutant is going to pick up his dry cleaning. The adjutant is going to pick up his car that's being detailed. The adjutant is going to go pick up the pastor's order at the restaurant. The adjutant. This is the person. This is the gopher.
Go tell Sister So-and-so to go pick up the pies from such and such place because we're going to be late, so make sure she goes get them. Well, you know she don't like me too much. Why?
Uh-oh.
Now he's got to figure out, you know what, never mind, I'll go do it. This is another thing. That's right. I do myself. Because you can't get along with nobody. Because you're the armor bearer. And I've been called to obscurity. Oh, we make a model out of ourselves. I've been called to be crucified. No, you haven't. You're arrogant. You don't know how to talk to people. You're proud. You think you're better than them because you carry his briefcase.
Wow.
And that's why don't nobody like. That's why. We are so fixed on laying hands and praying for the man of God after he's finished delivering the word in front of everybody so they can see we're the person who puts strength back into the vessel of God. But where were you when he was getting impartation before he preached?
Oh, wow.
Where were you when he was laying before God for the impartation before the people saw him?
Now, all these trainings are the same. This is just drama. This is just. What can you say? Has he mentioned one Bible verse? Has he told them at any point in time, let us turn to book so and so, chapter and verse so and no. Not one time. Not one biblical example, not a proof text.
You have to have the type of personality that I practice. When I serve my bishop, I practice making sure that I always spoke to people in a certain way.
That's right.
That they would like me and that they would want to deal with me.
That's right.
That I would smile. Hey, how you doing?
That's right.
Oh, all is well. Wonderful.
That's right.
We're fine. Wonderful. Bishop is fine. We're going to make sure he gets where he's going. All is well, dear. Thank you so much. We love you. We were taught to do that.
That's so true.
We were taught to do that. Ain't your job to be going all out, snapping your fingers and cussing. The armor bearer takes direction from the leader.
That's right, man.
You're not the pastor.
Plantation, antebellum style plantation. You know when you left the plantation? in a pine box. You just heard this guy say, you got to be his armor bearer for life. For life? You mean I get to leave this place in the pine box? That's the only time I'm free from you? When I'm in my grave, I don't have to go pick up your dry cleaner no more? When I'm in my grave, I don't have to go pick up your order at the restaurant? When I'm dead in my grave, I don't have to go to motor vehicles to get your inspection sticker and your registration? I mean, that's for life? This is a for life job? I mean, it's like you're married to the bishop too. You're married to your wife, but you're married to the bishop. You know, this is, wow. Wow, this is, I mean, for life. And these people are okay with it. They're applauding it.
Yeah, no, David, here's my key. You can open up now. You can close up now. That's all David is. The armor bearer has to have the presence of the Lord with him. He would be, and I want to say this, his armor bearer for life. You know what? I don't mind. But whenever I'm in service and my bishop calls me over to you, you know what I do?
Yeah.
I get on my knees.
Absolutely.
All
that's
right.
Right. That's right.
Never for life. Part I wanted to play. See, if you got preachers in your church who have their own armor bearers, you better watch your kingdom. You see, it's your kingdom. It's not the kingdom of Christ. It's your kingdom. Let me play that again. See, you can't have any rival kings. You're the king. The first lady is the queen. If you find a preacher in your church with an armor bearer, that's a threat to your kingdom. That's a threat to the plantation because the house Negroes and the field Negroes really don't know who the master is. You're allowing them to get mixed signals. Here it is, the concluding clip.
Armor bearer. need no armor bearers. You do your job.
Amen.
You carry your own sword.
Amen.
You've got ministers, preachers, other pastors, however you have the hierarchy in your church, make sure that you watch your kingdom carefully.
See, it's your kingdom. My brothers and sisters, what more evidence do you need? We're like a fly on the wall. We're listening. You know, we always want to know what goes on behind those closed doors. What are they saying in these trainings? What is it that they're promoting? Doctrines of demons and commandments of men. The whole black church with all of these bishops and their adjutants. It's nothing more than antebellum plantation. Well, that's where we're going to leave it today. I will be back tomorrow with another riveting episode, because it's always riveting. It's always riveting when you tune in to Christ the Church and Serious Conversation. Now, my brothers and sisters, let me remind you that tonight, at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sister Marie's going to be in studio to do her Thursday night apologetics broadcast. I hope and pray that you will tune in. It's going to be wonderful. Love you much in Jesus. Spread the word. And don't forget to tune in to Christ, the Church, and Serious Conversation. The only place where we're going to be able to talk about things that your church will never talk about in the open. God bless you. Love you much in Jesus.